I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you, Ms. Schofield. And the roll call, please.
All members of council are present with the exception of Councillor Butler, Your Worship.
Thank you. There is an addendum this evening. There's an additional piece of correspondence from Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs relative to commemorative signs for farms that have been in existence in Ontario for more than 150 years. And we have been looking to find out what ones qualify in Fort Erie, so we may have some news on that in the future. In terms of announcements, I just wanted to close the circle with respect to the tragic situation with Buffalo Police Diver Craig Lehner, whose body was found at the end of last week. His funeral is scheduled for this Wednesday, October the 25th at 10 a.m. at KeyBank Center in Buffalo. It's going to be a military and police funeral. I would imagine that some of our firefighters will be there because they were actively involved in the search throughout. Visitation is at the Lakeside Memorial Funeral Home today from 3 to 8, and tomorrow, October the 24th, from 3 to 8 for any individuals who wish to attend. And our thoughts and prayers are with the Lehner family. Second, that's it for announcements. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? If there are none, then I'm going to make reference to two public notices of upcoming meetings, each on November the 6th, 2007, in the council chambers. The first is a proposed official plan amendment and zoning changes for the South End Secondary Plan. The information report for that public meeting will be available on our website on November the 1st. And the same evening, zoning bylaw amendment for 2555 Dominion Road and 327 Windmill Point Road North. And again, the information report will be available November the 1st, 2007. That takes us to the Regional Councillor's report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship. Good evening, members of council. Full gallery tonight, members in the gallery. This past couple of weeks has been a busy time as the drum roll starts coming in, which is fine. We are deep into budget deliberations right now. As you're aware, last week, Regional Council passed its capital budget. And the capital budget was passed $189.1 million dollars. And basically that's broken down 49% sustainability to maintain what we have, 14% of growth, and 37% of that is service enhancement. So it's a pretty detailed summary. I'll be more than happy to pass on the presentation that Regional Council received at its budget meeting last week for Council to see. As well, we did have an increase in a one-time amendment to the water operating budget. Now, this is a zero impact to the water rate, and it's due to a very dry season in 2017. So due to a 4% decrease in water usage, we had to move $683,000 from the water stabilization reserve into the 2017 wastewater operating budget. So again, sometimes when you don't use enough water, unfortunately, it does have an impact. As you understand, the region is a levying body, and as we get billed, we bill our lower tier municipalities for water, and we budget for a certain amount, and when there isn't that certain amount, we have to make up that difference. So again, it's something that we're working towards a more fair proposal. We don't necessarily think it should impact people that are conserving water, that people should be paying more for that. But unfortunately, that's just the system that we have in place right now. Those are the two major items that we're working towards. We will be deliberating on our operating budget moving forward and our water and wastewater. We don't anticipate a large increase in either one of those things. The region has set guidance at 2%, and we'll see what we come in at.
Thank you. Any questions or comments by members of council of the regional councillor. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Councillor Annunziata. Just some thanks, if you can relay back to your colleagues at the region regarding the Crescent Road water tower. The removal seems very, very seamless to residents. It was clean, contained. So just if you could extend that thanks to your colleagues, that would be wonderful.
I will. Thank you for that. And there's some great history on that water tower. We actually have the original plan from 1954, and it was produced right here at Horton CBI. So there's some great nostalgia to it, and unfortunately when regional infrastructure becomes redundant, we have to take it down. But that property is going to be remediated, a record of site condition will be applied, and will be part of a land strategy. Either the region will use it or we'll put it on the auction block just to see what we can do with it. But it'll be a clean record of site condition that goes with that property. So I'll pass on those thoughts, Councillor. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Anyone else? Councillor Annunziata, I just wanted to confirm that the long-loved episode with respect to the development charges revision bylaw is still, as I understand it, being discussed and apparently was referred to a committee, and the committee has maybe corporate services has done something with respect to that.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Meeting, I wasn't at the meeting last week, but I do know that there are other councillors and mayors who are expressing some new concerns.
Yeah, that's a great question to bring up, Your Worship. And I will give credit to Councillor Nutt, who has been a staunch stalwart with respect to keeping development charges at a respectable rate when it comes to our agricultural users. So we did have a meeting here at Town Hall last week, and the Town of Fort Erie has been very steadfast in their commitment to maintaining the current economic investment environment. And with respect to DCs, they had three challenges, as you are aware. One was the agricultural rate or the agricultural definition. The other one was the increased amount of DCs that went to four-plus bedrooms, new construction. And the other one, I believe, was the brownfield incentive plan. I'm grateful to say that we've solved those issues from this level. Agricultural wording is very acceptable to the Town of Fort Erie and to our residents. We've merged the four-plus bedroom to two-plus and above, so that one's taken care of, and we will still receive 100% DC with respect to brownfields. With respect to our other colleagues around the region, I don't know if they're quite there where Fort Erie is, but I'm grateful to say that the region has been very, very helpful in solving our problems with respect to our investment initiatives. So moving forward, we'll just keep an eye on that and just see if that DC bylaw ever does eventually get passed.
So, the latest word that I had was that there's still some continuing anxiety about the level of the increases of the various rates, so that something was referred by, perhaps you're not on corporate services?
I am.
Was there something referred at the last meeting?
So I know we've just received a letter today, and it was from RCI Consulting.
Right.
Apparently there are two developers being represented by Mr. Piccione, one being the Mars development and the other one being, I think, Lasani. And they still have some concerns with respect to the language in, I believe, the brownfield CIPs. Again, piggybacking on our concerns from St. Catharines and Welland, we'll see if we can reach a softer landing spot where everyone can have total buy-in on those two issues. But I will add, though, Regional Council did pass two pieces of policy with respect to our SNIP program and our public realms investment. And as you know, the talk around the council has always been that the SNIP was going away. It's not going away. It's still available for 2018. So I encourage anyone that can tap into those grant programs, it's still there. A report will be coming back to council sometime in November or December to adequately address the historic shortfalls that we've experienced in that program. So going forward, I believe the amount is roughly about $600,000. I can see that amount going well beyond that amount, and I think that's a commitment that region will make with respect to the SNIP program. With respect to the Public Realms Investment Program, that's gone from $250,000 to $500,000. So again, public investments along any of our regional corridors, that's a great program that our business owners and certainly the Town of Fort Erie can tap into. and with respect to beautification initiatives and hardscaping and streetscaping.
Great. Thanks very much. That's very welcome news. That takes us to presentations and delegations. And I want to recognize all of those associated with the Air Cadet Squadron in Fort Erie, as well as the members of the Lions Club, which have been, Fort Erie Lions Club, which has been the sponsor from day one. And the chief has given them the nod. But this will be, the first presentation is to and by the Royal Canadian Air Cadets Squadron, Alan Trope Squadron 337. After they break down the door. Captain Chevalier, welcome. This represents a rather interesting ceremony. It's the first time I'm confident that it has occurred in the chambers of the Council of the Town of Fort Erie. This evening, the Council is going to be extending to the Royal Canadian Air Cadets 337 Alan Trope Squadron the freedom of the city. And this is fitting that it's done this year because it's not only the 150th anniversary of Canada, but it's the 75th anniversary of operation of this Air Cadet Squadron. And that's a significant milestone, not only for the squadron itself, but also for our community and all of the young men and women who have been part of the squadron over the years. Freedom of the city is the most esteemed honor to be bestowed upon any military unit. And it recognizes the services, hard work, leadership, and commitment of the unit to the community in which it is located. It's a historical honor which originates in 15th century Britain and grants the squadron permission to march through the streets to the beat of their drums, flying their colors, and with bayonets fixed. And for military units, they are also are allowed to carry their arms within the walls of the city. Now, we don't have walls anymore, and the Air Cadets don't carry weapons, to the best of my knowledge. But the fact that we are honoring your squadron shows that we have great confidence and great regard for the work that your members have done over the years for our community. That wouldn't be possible without the hard work of the officers who take the leadership roles and the staff that take the roles to make sure that all of the cadets have what they need from meeting to meeting and from activity to activity. And it wouldn't take place unless there were youth who were wanting to be involved in this type of activity. We do have in Fort Erie at least one former mayor who was an air cadet and at least one former fire chief who was an air cadet. So they do, they can become quite successful outside of the military realm. But I know that we have many, many individuals who have graduated from this particular Royal Air Cadet Squadron that have gone on to important and distinguished military careers. We are truly proud of these young men and women for their exemplary service to our community and the commitment to the Air Cadet movement. On behalf of members of council and the residents of the town of Fort Erie, I'm going to present to you the freedom of the city and a certificate to acknowledge that freedom. And I would ask Councillor Passero, who is a member of the Fort Erie Lions Club, the sponsoring group, to join me at the podium, and Captain will provide this to you. This certificate says that the Municipal Council of the Town of Fort Erie, on behalf of the residents, hereby grants freedom of the city to the Royal Canadian Air Cadets number 337 Alan Trope Squadron in recognition of your dedicated service to our community since your inception. Captain, would you like to say a few words?
Mayor Redekop, members of council, town staff, and members of the public here this evening. As mentioned, my name is Nicholas Chevalier. I'm a captain and the commanding officer of 337 Alan Trope Royal Canadian Air Cadet Squadron. As the CEO, I have the distinct pleasure of addressing you this evening on behalf of the cadets, staff, and sponsoring committee of the squadron. The Air Cadet Program in Canada was established in 1941 with the mandate to sponsor young men as future air crew. With the reorganization and unification of the Canadian Armed Forces in 1960, the focus of the program changed to developing community leaders and good citizens. Female cadets were allowed to join starting in 1975, and today the program continues to evolve and adapt to meet the expectations of our changing society. With its emphasis on leadership, physical fitness, and citizenship, the program encourages youth to become active and engaged members of their communities and prepares them to become the leaders of tomorrow. Our program is open to all youth between the ages of 12 and 18 and offers cadets a unique experience and opportunities not found in other organizations. Our cadets receive training in leadership, instructional techniques, effective speaking, drill and ceremonial, music, survival, aviation subjects, and range. Air cadets also have the opportunity to attend paid summer training courses where they can participate in many different programs, including an international exchange, and even receive their gliding and pilot's licenses. Across Canada, there are approximately 26,000 air cadets in 453 squadrons in all 10 provinces and 3 territories. 337 Squadron received their charter in October of 1943. With an initial officer corps that consisted exclusively of members of the Fort Erie Lions Club, the squadron was named after the first resident of the town of Fort Erie to die in World War II. Flying Officer Alan Wilson Trope grew up in Fort Erie and lived on the Niagara Boulevard. He attended Douglas Street Public School and graduated from Fort Erie High School. He studied mechanical engineering at the University of Toronto for a couple of years before taking a job at Canada Customs. He enlisted in June of 1940, and after receiving his wings as a navigator bomb aimer, was sent to England. He was assigned to RAF Squadron 22 on the Bristol Beaufort, and on December 12, 1941, while on a bombing raid over France, his aircraft was shot down and he was killed. Upon our official formation on October 16, 1943, the squadron was named 337 Alan Trope Squadron in his honor. With a current adult staff of 3 officers, 5 civilian staff, our squadron boasts a cadet population of over 30 youth. Former cadets of the squadron, as previously mentioned, include mayors, firefighters, police officers, air crash investigators, professors, successful business people, high-ranking military leaders, medical professionals, members of the Canadian Forces Skyhawks parachute team, and even a current member of the Canadian Forces Snowbirds. To say that as a small town squadron we bat above our average would be an understatement. As a squadron, we are extremely lucky and grateful that for the last 75 years, the Lions Club of Fort Erie has been here to support us and act as our official sponsor. As with many other programs and endeavors they support within the town, it is only through their generous support that we are even able to exist. On behalf of the cadets, staff, and sponsoring committee of 337 Alan Trope Squadron, I would like to thank the town of Fort Erie for bestowing upon us one of the greatest honors that can be given to a military unit. I assure you that we will forever honor and respect this great recognition. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Captain Chevalier. I don't know whether any members of council wanted to ask you any questions or make any comments. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you for being here, Captain Chevalier. Are you able to enlighten members of the gallery or council as to some of the upcoming events you have planned to celebrate the 75th anniversary?
Most of our events that we're doing at the first part of the year, training year anyway, we run the same schedule as school from September to June. Our usual stuff will be in the Remembrance Day Parade and the Santa Claus Parade. Our big celebration of our 75th anniversary will be on the weekend, the first weekend in June, from June 1st to June 3rd. We're going to try and draw on as many ex-members of the squadron we can to come back to town and have a large get-together. Details for that are still being planned.
Excellent. We appreciate your hard work, the hard work of your staff, the parents who get the cadets there, pick them up most evenings, and make time to allow them to participate in this worthwhile program. I can always tell when we have delegates come forward in council chambers if they have been a previous member of a cadet corps, because they seem poised, they seem more confident, they just have a better sense about themselves, and that's no lack of skill and training that's imparted to them through your leadership and through your COWRS leadership. And to my friends in the Fort Erie Lions, my fellow Lions, thank you for being here tonight. As Captain Chevalier mentioned, it is really your hard work and your efforts to raise the funds that enable this program to go forward for the past 75 years. And I know that we show no signs of stopping now. So we'll keep up the great work and help to fund this tremendous program for many more years going forward. Thank you to everyone for being here tonight. A truly tremendous honor. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Captain Chevalier, and all of the members of your unit, your staff, and the volunteers, and, of course, the Lions Club. You're quite correct. The parents get the kids there, and it's its own reward in the final analysis. Thank you very much, and we trust that you will use the freedom of the city appropriately and protect us. We're counting on it. Thank you very much.
Thank
and at
you.
This stage, if you wish, you may exit the chamber.
We will. Thank you. Butter, outward. Turn. Butter, by the left. Quick. March.
This is an opportune time for any members of the audience to leave if they wish before the next delegation. Thank you, Chief, for letting the unit into the chambers. Okay, that takes us then to the next delegation, Belinda Bolin, with respect to short-term rentals. Good evening. And we have your presentation. You know that you have 10 minutes.
Correct.
So you can assume that we've read at least your presentation.
Correct.
Now, why don't we just wait a moment? We'll get the door closed there. Councillor Zanko, I think we can get maybe the... Looks like Janine is going to do that. Please proceed.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Belinda Bone, and my husband's name is Ross Gingrich. We are newcomers here in the town of Fort Erie, and we currently reside here as well as in St. Clements, Ontario. As explained in my presentation, I am the owner, CEO of DTI Logistics Canada. We are a transportation freight forwarding company and been in business for approximately 23 years. Last August, we purchased a beautiful piece of property located on 1097 Edgemere Lane. At that time, the house was a summer home, and we fell in love with the history. Absolutely loved it. As well, it was at the time then a summer home, only being used for the summer, and as well as most of the rest of the residents. So when we decided that we were going to renovate it with the intent that one day this was going to become our permanent residence, and we were going to enjoy it year round. The area was historical, if you can imagine just the historical, if all of you know the area or maybe don't. There are many of those homes along there that are still homes of three generations, families who enjoyed many wonderful summers and created lots of history that is there. Today our home, as I said, has been updated, but we are faced with different issues. So I'm here to talk about the six items. One is the issues in our neighborhood, short-term rental Airbnb issues in Fort Erie and the long-term effects in our community is number two. Number three, the bylaws and the terms for hotel and motel. Number four, the unfairness of taxing, what our association is doing about these issues. Number five, and number six is the proposals. So not too long after we moved in, we found out that there were other homeowners that were not enjoying the properties for their own use. It was more for an investment purpose. We would soon find out that some of those were rented out to much, much bigger rentals. Instead of it being long-term rentals, it was short-term. Our lovely our summer retreat had now turned into a camping ground. The rentals were not rented out for any, some of them were rented out for just weekends. They were not rented for the month, let's just say, of maybe other families being able to join. The people that are renting these type of these homes are people with lots of other companies, shall we say. Not one family who is saying, I've got six children or I've got, you know, this many people. It is friends. It is people who are younger people as well that are coming in and saying this is a party place. In my presentation, I have given you some examples of what we've seen, what we've experienced, whether it be the large groups being weddings that have actually been, that have happened, what those people, you know, care about, the urinating on our lawns, the late nights that, yes, we've been told call the police. But our police force is here also not just to look after complaints, but to really look after what our community really needs them for. So I've taken the time to give you a little bit of a picture of what we can expect. At no point would we ever have imagined that a house that would be rented to, saying, advertising, as in these things, 8 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, where 20 people are renting them, and then they're also including tents out on the front lawn of these lakefront to accommodate more people. That's not what the short-term rental, or in my opinion, as stated in my presentation, the meaning of that falls within a hotel, motel. It's a larger group. I have, you know, talked about in my presentation where the limits actually are with that with the bylaw. If the definition is not correct, then maybe in my presentation here, it states that we need to correct it, because as from what I can see right now, that's what's going on in our neighborhood. Is there being rent out the same as what a hotel, motel would actually be? So it's a huge concern of ours, just right in the neighborhood. The short-term, number two is the short-term rental Airbnb issues in Fort Erie along the long-term effects. So I want you to, there is a bill, I make mention that there is a bill that is there. It's currently on hold. But inside of that bill, I love some of the regulations that they're trying to pass. Which I've made mention of down further at the end of it, which is in the proposal of what it is that's inside of the Bill 133 that I think is something that we should all be, you know, considering because of the long-term effects. So I want you to imagine a long-term renter who's, for instance, maybe getting $700 a month for his long-term rental. Now all of a sudden Airbnb has come in and he realizes, I can get that for renting out my house for 2 weekends a month and make the same amount of money. So now our long-term rentals are taken away because they can make more money by doing short-term rentals with Airbnb. What happens is now our long-term renters who need those places and rely on us to protect them as well, they have no place to go because there's been no control, no limitations that have been set to also protect them from the long-term effects of what's changing with the short-term rentals and the Airbnb. So it's a huge, I see that as being a problem. This is a problem in some other, in a lot of other communities already. And this is why they're taking a look at the changing of the bylaws and putting, you know, plans in place to protect what we already have. The bylaws and the terms of the hotel and motel, I have put that in there of being able to show that anything that is being rented out in my eyes right now, saying that it's 6 bedrooms or more, falls into this category. I don't believe that anything that is 6 bedrooms or more fits in with a regular single dwelling residential and needs to be addressed. We need there to be a better definition. I think it says in here that our major problem is we are trying to address new problems with existing old bylaws. I don't believe that the bylaws were ever intended to deal with today's issues of short-term rental and Airbnb. So that was one of them of being able to say, I think we need to look at that. We also need to be able to protect some of the areas in our community of being able to say that we're not going to allow Airbnb or rentals in whether it's historical or certain areas. I would like to see some of that. The area that is, you know, where Edgemere Lane and down at that end has lots of history to it. I haven't done any extra work to see if there's anything that can be done with the historical community to protect any of it, but that's on my list of things that I intend on having to look into. The unfairness in the taxing. I speak in my presentation about the fact that I'm a small business owner. I spend in excess of $10,000 a year on permits and other licenses in order to have a small business. It is true. Short-term rentals, it's a gray zone. There's no taxing, there's no permits, there's nothing at this point. And yes, while they may be upset about it, it's part of doing business. If you want to be in business, then you got to be able to join. You got to go along with the rest of the requirements for business owners. So that's one my feeling on that. What our association is doing about this? Crescent Beach Association owns the beach on Edgemere. At this point in time, the board of directors have formed committees that are studying ways to deal with the issues brought forward. At this time, I cannot comment any further on the decisions being made or the timeline for the decisions, but I do know that the squeeze has been put on them. They plan to review their rules and bylaws and talk about, or with the intent of updating them as well. The proposed regulations, Bill 133 suggests that that we amend the city's zoning bylaws to create new and land use called short-term rentals that is permitted in the principal residence across the city. This next one is probably one of my favorite because it says prohibit short-term rentals that are not in a person's principal residence. This one's the key because it's going to stop the big partying. It's going to stop where the owner's there. Where some of these renters that I have given you listings to, they're on site. They are able to control what's going on because they see it. It's the homeowners that are not on site that are not able to shut down the nuisance of what's actually going on, or not able to shut down the fact that they're bringing in motorized, you know, sports equipment that they probably shouldn't be bringing in. So there's such a gray zone on this whole what is allowed, what's not allowed, what's allowed to do. And then, of course, the license companies that facilitate short-term rental activity, like Airbnb, create a registry for anyone who operates a short-term rental in their home. So my husband and I, as well as some of the other residents in our community, would like to see something done as quick as possible, especially with the hotel-type setting, especially with updating our bylaws, doing something instead of waiting for whether it be Bill 133. And I know you guys I know this is an issue. I know it's been brought up. It's just a matter of what can be done. So I appreciate you reviewing the rest of my presentation, the links that are actually there.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bullen. We appreciate your providing us this information. Do any members of council have any questions? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Have you or the association had conversations with the problem property owners, reached out to them, and if you have, what has been the response back?
So as a matter of fact, when my presentation was done, the answer would have been no. But I was able to speak to one of the ones that would, especially the largest, where there was 8 bedrooms and the tents and all of those things. And I asked that question of, you know, is there something we can do instead of us being able to say, we want you stopped, we want it kiboshed. And I didn't get a really good response. What I did get was, if you want me to say that I won't rent out for weddings anymore, then I don't have a problem with that. And my response was, our concern is not just the fact of the weddings. Our concern is the number of people. If we look at our own homes, would any of us, we all have side yards, backyards, would you put pop tents up, you know, in the front yard of your house? How would you handle it if this was your primary residence? So he was good about the discussion. The end result was, What's anybody going to do about this? There's nothing. I'm free to do whatever it is that I'm, you know, because it's my property. And I think that's the tough one. It's true. It's been said already that there's nothing saying they can't do it. Whether we question the bylaw, whether we question single dwelling, everything that we question is undefined. So he sort of kind of just left it in the sense that I'm free to do whatever I want.
Regarding some of the specific complaints that you spoke about tonight, did you have an opportunity to raise those with this individual?
Yes. Yes.
And what was his response?
I wasn't
or
here.
Or her response?
I wasn't here. And I said, that's our problem. You weren't here. And while we state that this is a problem, and how does it get controlled? How does it stop? And one of the other units that, or the other larger unit rents out more on just weekends. For instance, this past weekend, it was a 3-day weekend rental with a lot of people late nights, 2:30 in the morning, still going on. And so it's a matter of having to try and contact that individual. But we basically have two larger ones that have taken advantage. There's no limits because there are no rules.
Okay. I appreciate those responses and the information. I know that Councillor Zanko and McDermott have been pressing on this for a while, and it's up to us to do something because, as you mentioned, this is not something that's going away. It's only going to increase. And I know that when some of us attended the AMO conference, I think we were literally shocked when we typed in Fort Erie and Crystal Beach into the Airbnb websites and the number of listings that popped up. I had no idea that many were on the listing sites. And if only a small percentage of those are causing the types of problems that you're having to experience, that's way too many. So I appreciate your time tonight, and we'll try to get something done. Thank you, Your Worship.
Any other councillors? Councillor McDermott?
Yes, thank you. Just like Councillor Passera mentioned, we've had this before, Council, before earlier in our term, and I guess the big dilemma that we're having is, as well as other municipalities. Now, I take it this bill that you brought up here, this is a provincial bill? Thank you. So the municipality in Thorold and the municipality in Niagara Falls are still going through this process as well. And there are so many different areas that we have to look at. So, and I agree. I mean, number one, if you're profiting from this, you should make sure that you have a business license for it. If you're going to make it what it is, we believe that there should be some control over the safety of the building, whether it's got sprinkler systems and such. So there's so many things that make it tough for councils, and it will make it tough for the province, because unless it's advertised on the Airbnb or that site that they have, right, unless it's advertised, how would you know? Are people going to step forward and volunteer to register if you have a system that does that? I'm interested in your definitions, because the definitions that I see here have kind of perked my interest. Where did these come from?
Those are our bylaws. That's our bylaws.
Our bylaws.
Our bylaws. And okay. Our definition, that's theirs. So
this is our definition.
Ours. Fort Erie.
I find that very interesting, because I had some dealings with regards to the boarding house issue, that I believe I have a boarding house that I've been told I don't. And I find this very interesting here. But I will say this. You're not the first person to come forward. I've had numerous residents that pay umpteen dollars in taxes on the boulevard that have had the same problem. And I'm not sure how we're going to fix it, but it has to be fixed. I mean, if you live in a community that you're paying a huge amount of taxes, I don't expect you to have privacy, but I don't expect you to have a party going on every day, right? And neither do you. Right. So I know that creates havoc with neighbors, because in most cases that I have found, these houses are big enough to have 12 and 14 weekend guests every weekend. They're never the same. They're always different. And on each occasion that I've had to deal with the problems, they've all been noisy and kind of out of control from time to time. But I appreciate you coming out. I know your angst. We have to find a way. And but it's just plain and simple. The province is behind. We're behind. And this is a whole brand new type of social media way of writing. So we got to catch up. But I do appreciate you bringing it to our attention. And, you know, when those parties are a little bit too noisy, whether they're a wedding or not, they're obligated to keep the law. And I know it's not a good thing to call the NRP, but if they're causing a disturbance, you have to do it pretty much. If you want peace in your valley until such time as we get legislation forward that we can live by. But thank you very much for bringing this all to our attention.
I am very interested in the fact that definition on the bylaw. I've asked right in my proposal. I would like it stopped because, in my view, they're not in the right zone. And so I've come today that that's one of the things that I'm asking right away is that for it to be looked at. These are our definitions. If it's minimal, if it is something, but it's right there in black and white. And I would like, whether it is classified as gray, I would like something to be done temporarily because of that.
Well, it's unlikely that there's going to be a temporary change to the bylaw. This needs to be looked at in much greater detail. You've provided us with some very excellent suggestions. You've highlighted what the concerns are that you are concerned about. I did want to, the Crescent Beach Association bylaws do not cover this type of situation.
They do not cover, what they can cover is based on liability. If a wedding is held they do not go on the beach, let's just say, then if they do, there's a liability issue because Crescent Beach Association does not have liability insurance for events that are on the beach. So they're looking at the liabilities from their end and what it is that they can actually, you know, do to protect themselves. And for saying who can go on, who cannot, limiting, there's some true fine lines. They've got to go through some requirements there. But above and beyond just the beach, it's just the area. If they sit on their property, as one of the owners said, if I don't go on the beach and my tenants stay on the property, there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm like,
there's nothing in the Crescent Beach Association rules or bylaws that would deal
anywhere.
With this.
Crescent Beach Association or in our bylaws that stops that type of behavior.
Thank you very much, Ms. Boland. I do believe that I'll go to Councillor, and I do believe that there's going to be some type of notice of motion eventually brought forward once Councillor Zanko has had an opportunity to further consult with our planner. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, ma'am. Actually, I do have a question, just a couple questions for you. Very interesting read in the material you brought. Thank you very much. And as my fellow councillors did state, this is a problem that seems to be not limited to Fort Erie, and I'm glad that you recognize that. I just have some questions. You said that the partying and noise, we do have noise bylaws. Have you been calling the Niagara Regional Police? Have you been calling the bylaw enforcement to come and deal with the issues?
So we've called bylaw enforcement. The problem is that we don't have any bylaw enforcement available on the weekend. Nobody can do anything about the noise. I've just only learned after speaking with different individuals that there is a bylaw of during the day. Nobody knew of that. If it interrupts our own, you know, peace and quiet, whatever that it actually is during the day, that we can file a complaint during the day. I believe that a lot of people look at it the same way. They don't file the complaint because they feel that the police association have better things to be able to do. And those who have filed the complaint, it's days later before the police will come for a noise complaint.
Okay, thank you. I just was curious
if they
to know that
asked.
Because it wasn't mentioned in your presentation, the materials you provided, whether you had contacted the NRP or bylaw enforcement. So thank you for clarifying.
Any other councillors? Councillor McDermott, do you have a question? Well, you can bring. Sure, go ahead.
Mr. Cook, normally when you call the NRP for a complaint, it doesn't normally take days and days for them to come out. Is this a normal thing nowadays?
through your worship to the council. This is something new to me. This is normally the response fairly quickly, so it's something that we internally can take a look at and get a hold of the staff sergeant here locally and ask him that specific question. Why is it taking so long for you to respond? I'm actually very surprised at that comment.
Any other counselors? Thank you very much, Ms. Bohm.
Thank you.
And keep in touch with us to see what's happening, and if you don't see anything happening, make sure that you let us hear from you again. Thank you. Okay, that then takes us to the consent agenda. And Councilor McDermott, I understand you have the resolution for the consent agenda items. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed? And I remind you as well that we have the additional correspondence regarding the 150-year farms. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Lubberts. The Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. That then takes us to new business items. And Councillor Zanko, you have the first resolution with respect to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council accepts the resignation of Gabriel Demuzio from the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council accepts the resignation of Larissa Nemeth from the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions in the procedural bylaws.
Any questions or comments? I should point out that it's not unusual for the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee to have resignations and new nominations from year to year, depending on the age of the children and what they're doing in terms of studying, et cetera. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. And Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council accepts the resignation of Kennedy Overholt from the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with the filling of the vacancy in accordance with the provisions in the procedural bylaw.
That was something else. Okay, any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. And Councillor Zanko to finish with the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council appoints Emma Noling to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. And Councillor Lubert, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council hereby determines that in accordance with Section 3417 of the Planning Act, further notice is not required to rezone the subject lands for site-specific R2 zones.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that that's referred to in the memo from Mr. Vanderveen? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to motions, and I understand Councillor... Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Nutt, go ahead.
My item in new business, I had a question, and I'm glad that the regional councillor's here as being the chair of the NPCA. And first off, I'd like to thank Councillor Lubberts and EAC in their minutes. I see that we'll have the report on invasive species for Waverly Beach coming forward. But I was hoping, and if you'll indulge me on this, I have a question that more so I think the NPCA might be able to answer, and I'm wondering if I may take leave to ask that question now.
Well, Councillor Annunziata is a regional appointee to the NPCA, and provided he can answer the question, I don't have a problem.
Thank you. I was recently contacted by a constituent in my ward who has a piece of property that's partially covered by a provincially significant wetland designation, and obviously it has an environmental overlay. Their question was, if there's invasive plant species, for example, Phragmites, are they allowed to remove that if it's on land that
is designated PSW?
Do you know that, Councillor?
Well, a great question. It's a great question, and the short answer is no. According to the Conservation Authorities Act, there can be no site alteration or development within a provincially significant wetland and minimal within the 30-meter buffer. So the short answer is no. But I will say that your concern from your constituent, it's not unique. Invasive species are slowly taking over the Niagara region, Phragmites being a huge, huge concern. So I do understand that there's restoration works that can go on within a PSW to make sure that the native species prosper and flourish. And if that means removing some of the invasive species, I think that that work can be accommodated within a restoration plan, of which the NPCA would certainly have oversight and would certainly be responsible to regulate. So I hope that answers the question. So to the concern of the constituent, if in fact they would like to do some restoration work within that provincial significant wetland, by all means contact the NPCA and maybe a plan can be put in place.
Okay, thank you. And part two of that question was, if they have ash trees that have been infected by the emerald ash borer on their property and have died but still standing, are they allowed to cut those down?
That's another great question. The region administers the tree bylaw. My recommendation is to maybe reach out to our forester at the NPCA. If he determines that, in fact, the ash trees are infected and need to come down, then he will put forward that order, and he will give direction and proper guidance as far as the removal of those trees within that provincially significant wetland. His name is Dan Drennan. He is accredited. He's an accredited forester, and he can give the homeowner great advice as how to move forward.
Thank you very much, and thank you. It seems like competing legislation and conflict when you look at invasive species versus significant wetland.
Well,
especially Phragmites, because they choke out wetlands specifically.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad that you reminded me that there's inquiries in new business. Any other inquiries by members of council? Anyways, okay, that then takes us to motions. And Councillor McDermott, in Councillor Butler's absence, I understand that you wanted to move that this be adjourned.
Yes, Your Worship, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Luberts. We'd like to move this over to the November 14th meeting so that Councillor Butler can speak to it.
Madam Clerk, before the November the 14th meeting, it would be very helpful for us to know what the wording of the resolution is going to be. I think it's only fair that when our agenda is published that the public is aware of what the notice of motion is in case anyone wants to register to speak to it. So we have a motion to defer this motion to November the 14th. Any questions? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Passero, you have, so then that takes us to reports, and Councillor Passero, you have a resolution regarding report PDS 59, 2017.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council approves the amendments to the Town Zoning Bylaw number 129-90 as detailed in Appendix 4 of Report number PDS-59-2017 for the lands known as 3601, 3605, 3607, and 3611 Hibbard Street, and further, that Council authorizes staff to prepare the necessary bylaw, and further, that Council authorizes the entry into an amending subdivision agreement with 2298423 Ontario Inc., Wolf Goldlust, for the Willow Trail subdivision, and further, that Council authorizes staff to prepare a bylaw to execute the amending subdivision agreement and associated documents.
Wish to speak to this? There is a memo for those who are maybe listening or watching. There is a memo attached to this, and this relates to the four-unit building that's been constructed on Hibbard Street. The attached memo recommends that this amendment, I believe, would address the waiving of the road widening request by the town of Fort Erie for the Hibbert Street in front of just this one building, and requiring then the developer to enter into an easement agreement with the town with respect to storm sewer and public utilities. Is there anything further, Ms. Dolts, that I've missed?
No, the recommendation is there in that memo that would allow for that Block 3 road widening requirement be removed.
Before I go to Councillors Nutt and Passero and Luberts, I did have one question, and that is on the opposite side, the north side of the street, there is a telephone pole that looks like it's going to be at the end of the widened, or at least where the road is. Is there any plan for that telephone pole or hydro pole to be moved? Thank you. Mr. Pat has indicated that it is. I'm feeling better already. I'm going to go to Councillor Nutt, Councillor Passero, and then Councillor Luberts.
You're feeling better?
It feels wonderful.
It does. Just as I was reading this, and we've been contemplating this for a number of weeks now, I just have a question. Probably Mr. Walsh is the most appropriate to direct this to, but has any thought been given to turning this into a one-way street with us giving back the widening requirement? And I'm just thinking out loud, it's one thing that had occurred to me that we didn't really, I don't know if you've taken it before the Traffic Advisory Committee. For you, Mr. Mayor.
Going to get into real trouble on this.
No, I'm not.
Good.
We have considered it, and we don't think it's a good idea for a number of reasons. One of the primary reasons is that Ridge Road is closed on a number of occasions for parades, festivals, etc. So turning Hibbert into a one-way street would make traffic flow against the one way, no matter which way you did it. And that's never good for traffic patterns.
Councillor Nutt?
Nothing.
Congratulations, Mr. Walsh. An answer, finally, that I like. Councillor Passero.
The night is still young, though.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted to thank the developer and his agents for taking the time to meet with us. I think that this is a compromise. I believe they're good developers that inherited a bad situation, and I know that Councillor Butler is not here this evening, but she was present at that meeting as well, and she wholeheartedly endorses this going forward. So hopefully this brings this to a close. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. When I was reading through this year report, it seemed to me that we were going to either put one or the other on the floor. So I'm just curious as to how we're going to proceed with this. Do we have to, I mean, I'm in favor of the alternative for the zoning with no widening, and I think that's what the memo speaks to. But this is what's on the floor right now. So do we defeat this? I'm not sure where we're going with this whole thing, because both things have to be on the floor. In the memo, that's something that I would be in favor of, widening the road and giving the easements. I'm assuming that that's where everybody wants to go, right?
Right. So the third that talks about council authorizing the entry into an amending subdivision agreement. And that amendment, as I understand it, would cover the waiver of the road widening and then the balance of the subdivision agreement. Is that correct, Ms. Dolcher? Can you shed some further light onto this?
That's correct. The third that was read by Councillor Passero is that in our recommendation report, in the original report, and the memo has the new that, should Council wish to pass that following recommendation, that would replace the third that.
What you're suggesting then is that the third that be amended to read what is contained at the bottom of the memo from Mr. Kernahan. Schofield.
Worship, I spoke earlier with the town solicitor concerning this very matter, and he suggested that under the circumstances, because it is unusual, that while those four recommendations are currently on the floor, the new one could be moved and voted on, the other recommendations would just not be dealt with, because we don't want to defeat the report.
Say that again.
The four recommendations which are on the floor, the town solicitor advised me that we could, or a member could, put forward the new recommendation and council could vote on it, and if it's carried, then we would be done. The other recommendations would just simply not have been dealt with. If you wish, you can also amend recommendation number 3, but you would also need to defeat recommendations 1, 2, and 4. A little complicated.
Well, it is, because I don't think we can move forward to sign a subdivision agreement unless we authorize staff to do that. So I would have thought that the appropriate thing would be an amendment to the third, that we still need to be able to authorize entry, preparation of a bylaw with respect to an amending agreement. So I'm thinking that the appropriate way forward with due respect to Schofield and the lawyer that I didn't get a chance to speak to, we don't have the authority to pass a bylaw unless we pass this resolution. Wanting to pass the bylaw with respect to an amended subdivision agreement, which I believe is what Mr. Kernahan is speaking about at the end of his memo. So I think that the proper way forward is to amend the third, that, with the wording of the resolution at the end of Mr. Kernahan's memo. But it's only 7:06, so we're going to take a 10-minute recess so that we can make sure we've got this right, because I don't want to end up having the poor developer in another kettle of fish. So let's take a 10-minute recess, and we'll come back at 7:16. We're back in session, and we've discussed this, and what we determined to be the appropriate course in view of the changes that have been recommended would be to deal with the first two that's separately, move to the third that, and if council wishes to amend that, we can, and that would bring about, that would be presumably the amendment recommended by Mr. Kernahan in his memo, and then we would deal with, if that's amended, the third and fourth that's together. Okay, is that relatively clear? Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Redekop. Do we need to put a motion forward to deal with each that separately?
We can put together, yes, we do need a motion to deal with these separately, but I would suggest we deal with 1 and 2 together, 3 separately, and 4 separately.
Okay, I'll put that motion forward.
Okay, seconder for that? Oh, we're in committee, so it doesn't, are we in committee on this?
No.
Okay, Councilor Zanko has seconded that. Are there any questions on that, dealing with the separate?
And we'll read the amendment or the motion.
The motion?
Just for the listening audience.
Your motion is that council deal with the recommendations in report PDS 59-2017 separately.
1 and 2 separately, and 3 separately.
Separately, and 4 separately.
And 4 separately,
okay.
All right.
Everyone clear? So we'll deal with 1 and 2, then we'll deal with 3, then we'll deal with 4.
Yes.
All those in favor? That is carried. Okay, so 1 and 2 are on the floor, and that would be that we proceed with an amendment to the zoning bylaw and then authorize staff to prepare that bylaw. But in view of the memo, the zoning bylaw seems to be superfluous. Got a lot of Councilor Lubbers.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. So my understanding here is that we need to defeat 1 and 2, right? And then we will bring under 4
3.
Or under 3, we'll bring the recommendation in the memo.
That's correct. So we're on 1 and 2.
Yeah,
anyone have any other questions? All those in favor of the first and second that. All those opposed? That is unanimous. That is carried. That then takes us to the third.
Defeated.
Sorry, did I say carried?
Yes.
I meant defeated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. At least one of us is paying attention.
I'm confused, too.
Okay, we're at the third that. Would anyone like to move an amendment to that? Councillor Lubberts? Okay, and what is the amendment that you'd like to move?
All right, where is that amendment?
At the end of the memo.
If someone else has it in front of them, then all right. I move that council authorizes the entry into an amending subdivision agreement with 229-8423 Ontario Inc. Wilf Goldlust for the Willow Trail subdivision to remove the requirement for a road widening along Block 3, remove the requirement for warning clauses regarding parking and driveways, and to add an easement for sanitary sewer, water, Bell communication, and gas infrastructure. Is that the amendment we're looking for?
That is, and we have a seconder for that, Councillor Nutt. Any questions or comments with respect to that? Either Ms. Dolch or Mr. Walsh, does this cover all the utilities that we would have? I thought at one point there was some concern about the storm sewer.
No, the storm sewer is in the middle of the road. We're fine with that.
And hydro has its own separate, okay. All right, any other questions? If none, all those in favor of the amendment, that is carried. So then, at this point, I think we should deal with 3 and 4 together because 4 would authorize, amended 3 and 4 because 4 would authorize the bylaw for the amending subdivision agreement. Councillor Lubberts?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just for clarification, do we need to add a friendly amendment to the amendment to include the next authorizing staff to prepare the bylaw?
No, because they would be preparing the bylaw based on what we've just authorized in terms of an amending subdivision agreement.
Okay, all right, so we just add it. We would just add it.
That's implicit that that's the nature of the amendment.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so does anyone have any objection with us dealing with the 3rd and 4th that together? Councillor Lubberts, you with us? Any problem with dealing with 3rd and 4th together?
I was just going to ask that we read it out entirely.
Okay. So, Madam Clerk, do you want to read then the amended 3rd paragraph as well as the 4th?
Yes, Your Worship. That Council authorizes the entry into an amending subdivision agreement with 2298423 Ontario Inc. Wilf Goldlust for the Willow Trail subdivision to remove the requirement for a road widening along Block 3, remove the requirement for the warning clauses regarding parking and driveways, and to add an easement for sanitary sewer, water, Bell communication, and gas infrastructure. And further, Council authorizes staff to prepare a bylaw to execute the amending subdivision agreement and associated documents.
Any further questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That takes us then to report CAO 11-2017. Councillor McDermott, I believe you have the resolution for that.
Thank you, Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Lubberts. The Council authorizes the reallocation of the remaining 2017 Town Hall alteration funding in the amount of $21,737 for alterations to the Central Station facility to accommodate the relocation of Fire and Emergency Services Administrative Staff.
Any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. It takes us then to notices of motion. Are there any notices of motion this evening? Okay, then that takes us to consideration of bylaws. And Councillor Nutt, you have the... Does anyone wish any of these bylaws removed from the package? Councillor Nutt, you have first and second reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that bylaw package containing 118-2017 to authorize the entry into a waterfront investment program agreement with the Regional Municipality of Niagara for Bay Beach improvements, and 119-2017 to regulate the erection and display of signs within the Town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw numbers 90-2014 and 55-2015, and 120-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90-397 Garrison Road and Zero Louisa Street, otherwise known as the Peace Bridge Subdivision, Jeff Jansen, Jansen Consulting, agent for Ashton Homes Western Limited, and Aldo the Silo owner, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for any questions or comments. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Redekop. I'm just looking at bylaw 120.
Yep.
Peace Bridge Subdivision Zoning Bylaw Amendment. This came up earlier. right? The Peace Bridge in the consent agenda?
There was something in the consent agenda with respect to...
And I just want to clarify that what we're doing here is we're approving just the four lots.
So what we approved at the last committee meeting was a rezoning site-specific that reduced the lot frontage and the coverage for four lots.
Yes.
We also approved a site-specific zoning that permitted, it retained the size of the remaining lots, but permitted slightly larger lot coverage from 40 to 45%.
Yes.
And that's what this bylaw speaks to. Is that correct, Ms. Dolch?
Sorry, just you said lot frontage, lot area, and lot coverage for the First Amendment, and then just lot coverage for the second. I think you just meant lot area, but you said lot frontage.
Said lot frontage.
Yeah, it's lot area is being reduced.
As opposed to the frontage. I thought the frontage was smaller.
No, the area is smaller.
Just the area.
Just the area.
Okay.
So, yeah, that, I just wanted to make clarification that word. The lot area from 510 square meters to 465 square meters is just those four lots that we discussed. And then the others is for all of them, but the rest of the lots are going to remain 510 square meters, correct?
Ms. Dolch?
Through you. That's correct, Councillor.
Okay. Are there any other questions with respect to the bylaw package? If not, then I'll move to you, Councillor Lubbers, for third and final reading of the bylaw package.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaws number 118, 2017, 119, 2017, 120, 2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Questions or comments? Madam Clerk, just to be clear, bylaw 119, which is the sign bylaw, there's no change to the portable sign.
That's correct, Your Worship.
There are no other questions. All those in favor of the resolution and opposed, that is carried. And that takes us then to scheduling of meetings. Meetings coming up that we should know about. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. On Wednesday, the 25th, there is a blood donor clinic at St. Mike's Church in Port Erie from 2 to 8 p.m.
And that is the day that the high school is having its special opening ceremony.
Grand opening is that morning.
And I presume that there are things going on all day there. I know that there's something at 10 a.m., and I presume that there are things throughout the day.
There's also the business after 5 being held at the school between 5 and 7 p.m. Wednesday.
That's a very busy day. Anyone else? Councilor Cyril.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. here at Town Hall in Conference Room Number 1.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Your Worship. The swearing-in ceremony for the new Chief of Police is on Thursday, the 26th. At 2 p.m. at the in Niagara Falls.
That's the regional police.
Correct.
And any others? If not, Councillor Nutt, you have a resolution that we move into closed session.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that Council does now go into closed session at 7:30 p.m. to discuss the following. Item A, land matters pursuant to Section 239, Subsection 2 of the Municipal Act 2001, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality of local board.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor of going into closed session, that is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, we're back in session, and Councillor Passero, you have the resolution to bring us out of closed session.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt. Off the presses. The council does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 7:59 p.m. with report that staff proceed as directed.
Questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That then takes us to confirmatory bylaw. Councillor Lubbers, you have that resolution, but you're going to need a new seconder because Councillor McDermott, when we were in closed session, left. I presume Councillor McDermott? No. Yeah, he's not here now, so we'll have...
Okay, moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Nutt, who's a busy man tonight. He's seconded a lot of things. That bylaw number 122-2017 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on October 23rd, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That is carried. Councillor Zanker, you have third and final reading for that.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw number 122-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Lewards? All those in favor? You were just voting early. Okay, and that takes us to the final resolution. Councillor Nutt, your honors.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Lewards is right. The mayor of Chicago, while in jail, did utter that. Vote early and vote often. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, the council adjourns at 8.01 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of council on November 14th, 2017.
All those in favor? That is unanimous. Thank you.